controlled substance billing is all about ratios. They don't generally look at, oh, you filled 10 prescriptions last month and you filled 15 prescriptions this month. It's really a percentage of your total book of business.
Welcome to the Becoming a Pharmacy Badass podcast, where we talk about how to diversify your revenue streams, increase your net income, and optimize your operations to create the pharmacy of your dreams. I hope you enjoy and subscribe.
Hey everyone, Dr. Lisa Fost here, and this video is in response to a really great question from one of my members, Mandy. And normally I just answer our members back, but I felt that this was such a hot question. I've actually received it from lots of pharmacy owners over, you know, the last many months as there's been increased focus on scrutiny on controlled substances. So my member Mandy sent in a question that said, how do I get rid of patients in a very nice way that only get controlled substances filled at the pharmacy? And I'm going to answer this question not only for Mandy, but also for everybody else, because how do you navigate this? And you can really insert the answer of this to patients that only get brand names or patients that only get, you know, some other desirable part of prescriptions. And so first off, the question is, why is that a problem? Why is that subset of prescriptions a problem? Now, we all know controlled substances, there's these really weird, hidden, unknown rules that we all have to follow. None of us know what, you know, what is the max percentage we can have based on our geography, because one pharmacy might be able to have 15% controlled substances, but another pharmacy in another geography, you know, 25% might be okay. And so there's really these really weird rules about controlled substances. And so my guess is that Mandy is concerned about maybe breaking that threshold, going over that threshold, getting in trouble from wholesalers, maybe from increased scrutiny from regulatory bodies. And so, you know, this is an important metric to be watching in your pharmacy. Now, I will say, if you've just been consistent, you know, and you've been at 18% and you've been at 18% for the last 3 years and you continue to be at 18%, it's probably not something you need to actively manage. Generally, what catches attention from either wholesalers or regulatory agencies is a spike, you know, a hockey stick. You go from 10% controlled substances to 15%. That's a big jump. Even if 15% is lower than normal for your area, it's all about your delta, your change. And so if you're getting a bunch of influx of patients with controlled substances only, this can be a huge concern. And rightfully so, unfortunately, just based on the way that the DEA and regulations and wholesalers shroud all of this stuff in secrecy, even if they're completely valid legal prescriptions, you might have to turn away these patients. So how do you do this? First of all, I don't think the first goal is to get rid of those patients. I think the best outreach that I would recommend would be to contact the patients and find out if they're on other medications. You know, maybe the other pharmacy they were at said, I'm sorry, we can't fill this anymore. So they only shopped for a new pharmacy for that prescription, but they're still getting their other prescriptions at the other pharmacy. The really great solution to that is, hey, let's transfer all your prescriptions over. Not only is that bringing in more business and more opportunities for your pharmacy, but it's helping that ratio, because controlled substance filling is all about ratios. They don't generally look at, oh, you filled 10 prescriptions last month and you filled 15 prescriptions this month. It's really a percentage of your total book of business. So whether you're looking at brand name medications or controlled drug medications, you know, you want to look at it as a percentage of your total book of business. So when identifying these patients, now your PMS report is going to be really helpful in this, your pharmacy management system. I don't know that all of them have like built-in reports for controlled substances only. So this might be a bit of a manual process. You might want to start with, you know, your C2, C3s. You might just want to look at all controls. What other prescriptions did those patients get? Finding out who only gets controls only. You might know some of them off the top of your head. You know, we all know those patients, but others might be getting stuff and they're just kind of flying under the radar. So expect that if you're going to be really looking at this, that you're going to be diving in and do probably a little bit of manual Excel work. And I'm weird. I like Excel work, but if not, get some help. Get somebody else on your team that maybe really likes Excel and really can help, you know, do all the fancy things to find this. But once you identify those patients that are only getting controlled substances, I would probably take a look at those prescriptions. You know, is it low modal, you know, controlled substance, or is it OxyContin's controlled substance? You know, even though they're all controlled substances, we all know regulatory agencies look at those drugs vastly different. And then I think it's just outreach. Hey, this is Dr. Lisa Faust. I'm calling from Faust Pharmacy. You know, you get XYZ prescriptions here. How are they going for you? Are you on any other medications? And if so, we need to fill those two. And we need to fill those two all together for several reasons. One, we're concerned about drug interactions. We're concerned about understanding your entire health. You know, we're not just mail order pharmacies. We operate under taking care of all of you. And we also have these regulatory concerns. We want to be able to continue to fill these prescriptions for you. And in order to do that, we have to meet our own criteria, which means we need a good mix of non-controlled and controlled. So if you're taking both, we need to fill them all. And if you identify patients that seriously only take controlled substances, that's where then you might have to, after a conversation with them, you might have to decide, is this a patient that you can keep? Do you want to keep? And only you can answer that. But again, if you're dealing with stability where, you know, you're running at about the same amount of controls, you're filling about the same percentage of controls, then it might be okay to keep that patient. But if you're experiencing maybe an influx of patients, maybe a new urgent care opened across the street for you, maybe a local pharmacy closed, unfortunately, there are tons of independent pharmacies closing, which mean a lot of other independent pharmacies in those same communities are getting an influx of those prescriptions and we're having these, you know, big hockey stick usages of controlled substances. And so that's where you're going to have to decide, is it worth keeping that particular patient that's only getting controlled substance, you know, in your total book of business? I think for a lot of pharmacies, they can move a lot of those prescriptions over. You can do the same analysis with brand names. I had to go through this in my own pharmacy last year where we had a huge hockey stick increase of brand name medication only patients. When we started talking to these patients, we realized that there was another two independents in our town that stopped filling brand names. They filled the generics, but they stopped filling brand names. So these patients went pharmacy shopping for brand names only. And our employees just, you know, took the prescriptions, filled the prescriptions, didn't think to ask about those other prescriptions. And so our brand name usage just skyrocketed. So once we talked to these patients, we were able to move a lot of those prescriptions over their other prescriptions. You can do this with controlled substances too. You can be able to fill and move a lot of those other prescriptions over. And if you move over enough, maybe some of those patients that you have that are controlled substance prescriptions only become okay. You're looking at your entire brick of business. You've been able to massage it to where you feel comfortable. It's not highly different than what you've been doing for the last many years, and you aren't likely to run into any of these unknown barriers of controlled substance filling. So I think this is a common question that many pharmacy owners have. Unfortunately, we don't get any help and support from the regulatory agencies. We only get the knock on the door or the phone call, if you will, if we've somehow stepped over that magical unknown line. I really wish there was more transparency and communication because we're here to help them. Like, I don't know why there's this, you know, antagonistic relationship, but that's just the way that it is. So I hope it maybe answers your questions. If you've been, you know, been feeling that with the controlled substances, there have been some major horror stories lately, you know, pharmacies getting turned off just all of a sudden, you know, the DEA knocking on their door and they're doing nothing but filling valid legal prescriptions. And it's unfortunate that we have to live in that kind of world. So hopefully Mandy's question, maybe you might've had it and it helped you. Feel free if you have any questions. Obviously, if you're a member, you can message directly to myself and the team. If you're not a member, you can go to askdrlisafoss.com and submit your question and I'm happy to answer it. So we'll talk to you again later. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening. And if you found this content valuable, here are four ways I can help you have a more profitable pharmacy for free. One, join my free group at lisasrxgroup.com. Two, get the latest strategies at diversifyrx.com/blog. Three, watch helpful videos at lisasyt.com. explore. Hit that subscribe button and please be sure to leave us a 5-star review so we can help more pharmacy owners and bring those insights back to you. Becoming a Pharmacy Badass is proud to be a part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network.